destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. Mondays for me are always extremely busy. Well, first of all, we've got the orders that came in my business over the weekend. And, you know, Mondays are already busy because everybody's back to work and they're just catching up with everything. And then Monday happens to be my Jupiter day, which in Jupiter tends to magnify things and make them even bigger. So for me, it's always a rather busy and intense day, which I actually love. We have a lot of things to do tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. I hope you're sticking around. Hope you're listening. For those of you who are new, this show is basically based upon my books, which are The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards, and my newest book called Your Birthday, Your Card. And in this system that I've written about, every birthday of the year is a certain card in the deck, the regular playing card deck. And it tells a lot about you, a lot more than your astrological sun sign, or even really a lot more than just knowing your sun, moon, and rising sign, for that matter. It's a very specific description that we get of each person from their birthday, knowing their cards and so forth. And then on top of that, there are cards that govern every year of our life. And we're talking about cards a lot on this show, but I want you to know that no one here is using a deck of cards. No one here is touching a deck of cards or shuffling a deck of cards or laying them out and to ask questions. Everything is done by mathematical formula. I use a computer software program that I wrote myself that just puts all the spreads for the years at my fingertips. Whenever I'm answering questions or doing research into something that I'm talking about that has to do with cards, I'm looking at the spreads. I'm looking at what we call the yearly spreads, the seven-year spreads, the life spread, and the spiritual spread. There's a lot of spreads of cards. But these are all not cards that, these aren't spreads that we laid out by shuffling a deck. These are spreads that were all calculated from your birthday. So if you call in and ask a question, you will be asked what your name is and your birthday so that I can answer your questions. So feel free to share that with us. Now, we generally have a little talk now at this point in the evening, and then around 7:30, it varies as much as 10 minutes on earlier or later, we will have a break. And then after that, the phone lines will be open for your calls. And those of you who are listening probably know the phone numbers. You have to really have them because they're on the BBS Radio website and they're in the email blast that I send out every Monday prior to the show. So that covers that. We have a fun topic tonight, but first we have a few announcements. I'm holding a class. I hold a class twice a year at my house here in Concord, California. Concord happens to be about a 45-minute drive from San Francisco, about a 30-minute drive from Oakland Airport. It's going to be on February the 21st. It's a Saturday. Starts at 11 o'clock and goes until 5 o'clock in the evening. It's going to be a wonderful class about how to do great card readings. We're really going to get into it so that you can do better readings for yourself or for others. We're going to cover both aspects of that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We always have a really fun group. We limit the class to 15 people. We already have 8 registered, so there's 8 spots. Of 7 spots still open, so there's still time to register and get yourself a spot in the class. It's only $100, and there is a public transportation system that will take you to within 1 mile of my house from any airport in this area. And if you have any questions about that, you can email me or whatever. So that's that. The Love Cards Dating website, we're going through a few revisions, but Things are still moving along. You can go to lovecardsdating.com and you can put in your birthday and start a profile, and you can find people that will match you based on the cards. It's a phenomenal system, and we've taken it and applied it to a website. And it's for you to use. And there's also other little cool features on the site, such as knowing your cards for the year and so forth. So if you're single and you would like to try something new, I highly recommend you take a look. That's lovecardsdating.com. Well, today is one of my favorite days of the year because today is a two of spades. This is January 12th. It's very interesting how so many people born today end up being radio people. Yeah, radio people. It's a two of spades and ten of clubs, and the ten of clubs is a card of the teacher, so anybody with a ten of clubs ruling card or even a birth card could very well end up being a teacher of some sort, and you might say that radio personalities or even TV personalities could be considered like teachers in a way because they're giving out information. So we have a couple of famous ones. We have Howard Stern, and we also have Rush Limbaugh, which is very interesting when you think about it. And these guys are only 3 years apart. Rush Limbaugh is 58 today, and Howard Stern is 55. It's very interesting to see how they're different, and yet they're a lot alike. And you'd have to know the card a little better to know exactly how that goes. There's another broadcast journalist, Christiane Amanpour, is also born today. We also have a lot of other kinds of celebrities, too. Country singer Ray Price. We have one of the Oak Ridge Boys, Joe Frazier, ex-heavyweight champion, Cynthia Robinson of Sly and the Family Stone, movie director Wayne Wang. We have Kirstie Alley. She's a two of spades, ten of clubs. I knew she was a two of spades. I didn't realize she was a Capricorn. This is Capricorn. Actor Oliver Platt. He's also born today. And Rob Zombie. A lot of people. This is a birthday that has a lot of potential for success, not because of the two of spades so much, but because of the ten of clubs. The ten of clubs is a card that sits up in the crown line. When all the cards are laid out in what we call the grand solar spread, when we lay out the whole deck in the order that's prescribed, it ends up being seven columns and seven rows of cards, which makes 49. And then there are three cards left over, and they're placed right at the very top center of all the rest of the cards. And these three cards are called the crown line. And we have the ten of clubs up there, the eight of diamonds, and the king of spades. These three cards are always, or let's say most of the time, very driven for success. But ten of clubs is even more driven because it's a ten, and a ten is like an ace, and an ace is a very ambitious card. So we have a ten of clubs people, very ambitious, very determined, and really super intelligent you'll have with any ten of clubs. It's one of those genius birthdays. All the high club cards are actually pretty smart, but ten of clubs are exceptionally smart. So happy birthday to all you two of spades, the card of partnership, two of spades, working together. It's interesting. You look at Howard Stern. He keeps his little posse with him. He's not a loner. I mean, I don't know Rush Limbaugh that well, but I think that he's got a similar situation, too, where there's people that are close to him that he keeps with him because of his card being a two of spades. Two of spades believe in being together with other people and doing things together with other people. They're not loners, even though the ten might be considered a loner sometimes. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, after watching the Golden Globes last night, I was struck by all the success that Tina Fey is having. And I'd never really looked at her birthday and anything, but turns out she's born on May the 18th, 1970. This makes her an Ace of Diamonds and a Five of Hearts. So she's basically a Taurus Ace of Diamonds. And, you know, they call her the nerd. She's like a nerd, they call her, on the internet. And I guess she comes off that way. But in fact, she's just a really when you look at her card, you know that what's really going on is this is a woman that really likes to make money. She's very ambitious, and that five gives her the ability to come up with ideas that sell. She's able to create selling things that sell really well. All the fives are good salespeople. So she's got the ambition of the ace, and then she's got this five, this ability to sell and promote things. And this is where her success has come from. So, you know, she was a writer on Saturday Night Live, and then she became the head writer for Saturday Night Live. And then she went off and started her own show called 30s Rock. I think they won a couple of Golden Globes last night, 30s Rock. Two or three. I don't remember the exact count, but it was very successful. And she had to get up there a couple times. So we looked at her cards. I did it and some other people in the Magi Fellowship. And it was very interesting because there's a three-year cycle that we all go through. Well, not all of us, actually. There are some cards that don't, but let's just say 90% of us go through. It happens a couple times during the life if you live old to be old enough. It's called the pinnacle and the ascent to the pinnacle. And this is a period of time when people who are ambitious can go to reach great heights in their work and in their careers. I mean, they can really go. I happen to have another friend who was born May 19th. So he's one day off of Tina Fey, and he's a king of clubs. And during his ascent to the pinnacle, he went from a very small-time caterer, having very small parties, to being the caterer for the Academy Awards dinner at the end of that three-year cycle. I mean, it was in a phenomenal expansion and growth. And this is exactly what Tina Fey is in right now, too. She's in actually the second year. Well, actually, I should say it's the third of 4 years, to be honest. Let's see. Yeah, it started when she was 36. She's 38 now, so 36, 37, 38. She's in the third year, and next year she goes right to the pinnacle, which is the Eight of Diamonds spot. And so even though she's had this phenomenal success, you can expect more, even more success in the rest of this year and for her next year. And it would be safe to say that much of this started for her in 2006 when she began her ascent to the pinnacle. I mean, she was doing well before then. She was already head writer at Saturday Night Live. But now you really see Tina Fey everywhere. You see her all the time. She's everywhere. And the success that she wants, she's actually getting. I think she might even be a little bit overwhelmed by all of it. Okay, moving on now to our topic for this evening. And our topic is relationships. A fun topic. We've talked about it a lot, and we've kind of looked at it from different angles. You know, I think it's probably the most important subject, because when you look at relationships, you see that there's more personal growth that occurs through this area we call personal relationships than any other area. I've met people that are like not doing relationship for a while, and it's because it overwhelmed them before. They were in relationships. It didn't work out. It went so badly that they began to feel like, hey, this isn't for me. And I've even seen people who are really relationship prone. And for them to give up relationship, it had to have been really difficult. And this is how relationships can be. Relationships can be extremely difficult. So any help we can get in this area can be really wonderful. And the more understanding we have about what's going on, the better prepared we are to deal with it when it comes up. First and foremost thing is that whoever we're in a relationship with, we're going to have a tendency to blame them for everything that we don't like. I mean, and I'm talking about once you're past the honeymoon stage. And everybody has, well, I shouldn't say everybody, because there are some exceptional relationships that get difficult right from the very beginning and don't even have a honeymoon stage. But most relationships will have a honeymoon stage that can last anywhere from 1 year to 3 or 4 years. And during that stage of the relationship, really there's not a lot coming up. They're still sort of goo-goo-eyed, you might say, at each other. And, you know, in that sort of in-love part of the relationship is there. And, you know, it takes a little while for those issues to start to appear in a relationship. It takes a little while for those things to show up in a way that they become a challenge. But eventually all relationships reach that point because nobody here is perfect and we all have expectations of our partner. And then our expectations begin to clash. And especially if we have emotional things inside of us that are still like not healed from the past. And I would say that most people have this. I can't say everybody, but I think most people have issues from childhood, you know, things with their mother, things with their father. The cards are kind of cool in this regard because you can find out, like, a lot of people end up in relationships with people that have the same card or same cards even the same birthday sometime as one of their parents. So you can say, oh my God, I married my mother or I married my father. So this happens a lot. This happens a lot, really. And then we can't even, in the context of this show, we can only touch the surface of what is there to talk about. So tonight I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the how we are attracted to people and what's really going on when we pick a partner. And then also talk a little bit about what I've written about in the Love Cards book called The 9 Golden Truths of Relationships. So to talk about attraction for a minute, you know, we all have this process that we go through when we choose somebody for relationship. And there's sort of a, I would say there's a little bit of a fantasy involved there because we tend to think that we're making that decision of who we're going to be with. We tend to think that we're doing that consciously. Like we have some say-so in it. We tend to think that about it. We think that we can, like, use the card book, for example, Love Cards, and we think that we could probably use that book and we could prevent ourselves from making a bad choice in relationship by following what we read about and know about from reading the book. We think we could make a better choice using that. But I'm here to say that you and I do not make these relationship choices as consciously as we would like to think that we do. I think, by and large, the majority of the energy that goes into picking somebody is unconscious energy, not conscious energy. In other words, and I'm not saying it's bad. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not judging it as being a bad thing. But just the fact that it's something that's happening on a level that we're not really consciously connected to. Our conscious mind, which we take so much pride in this society today, is not really involved in that process. So, you know, you think you're choosing somebody, and you can make up reasons afterwards why you chose them. Man, you can always give a reason, right? You can come up with a reason, oh, I've chosen for this reason. But really, it's only in retrospect, after a relationship has gone on for a while, you can really see why you chose somebody. And it's always the people that we choose, by and large, I mean, in most cases, and I'm talking about for relationships that last more than just a night, people that we choose for a relationship are mirrors of us in some way. And usually, they are there to mirror stuff to us that we cannot see on our own. In other words, they're there to show us things in ourselves that we are unconscious of, we're not aware of. We're not aware of these certain things about ourselves, and so we attract somebody who shows us that to us. They show it to us. Now, they're not doing this, don't get the wrong impression, they're not doing this deliberately. They're not doing this consciously. They're not saying, oh, well, I'm going to be your teacher. I'm now. I'm going to teach you some stuff in this relationship. Now, there are some people that do, but those people are a little bit arrogant and crazy. So watch out for those kind of people. But by and large, we teach each other just by being with our partner, and it's not a conscious intention on our part. It's just a function of the way our energies are and how they our partner is affected by them. So you can see couples, and it's very common for a couple to say the man has sort of married or been or is in a relationship with a woman that's a lot like his mother, and the woman's in a relationship with a man that's a lot like her father. This is very, very common. Because our parents become the first sort of icons in our life of some of the issues that we will face as we grow up and get older. The parents will be these. They're not actually the cause of it. We tend to blame our parents for, you know, our childhood and things that come up and so forth. But it's not really that they're doing this to us. There's no conscious intention there to even be our teacher necessarily. But they do mirror for us things that we need to look at in ourselves and in our life. And that's basically what happens in our childhood. We get mirrors. But then, because our parents were the very first people to ever bring up these kinds of issues or feelings, we tend to then blame them for and say they're the ones that are responsible for that. I mean, even therapists are guilty of blaming people's parents because it's there. There is an association there. It definitely exists. But really, technically speaking, I don't think it's anybody's fault. The parents are just, you know, I mean, I came from a family of seven children. I am the oldest, of seven children. We all had different childhoods. We all remember different things about our childhood. Nobody had the same childhood, even though we all had the same parents. So it really wasn't the parents. It's what we took from our parents, really, to be more to the point. So we're attracted to people that are going to bring up for us the things that we can't see on our own. It's a blessing in a way, and it's an opportunity for great spiritual development. But very few of us are interested in great spiritual development when it comes to our relationships. We'd rather have, meet somebody and have happy ever after be our little thing instead of, you know, working on our spiritual growth ever after. It just doesn't appeal. It doesn't sound all that interesting or appealing to most people. But that's really what's happening. You can't deny it. That's what's happening in the context of any relationship. And, you know, you can look at your partner right now and you can see if you're not having a good time right now with your partner and you look at the difficulties you're having, I can guarantee you that those difficulties are really about you, not about them. They are just what you're seeing in yourself or made to feel and experience that you have avoided feeling and experiencing about yourself. If you're having the feelings, they're yours. That's basically it. Okay? So this law of attraction has us thinking and, you know, getting all romantic and falling in love and thinking, oh my gosh, this is like, God sent me this perfect person. And the truth is, yes, God did send you the perfect person. Can you sustain that sense of this being the perfect person when the honeymoon phase is over? So in the midst of all this challenge that we have in relationships, it's helpful to any help we can get actually would be appreciated. And after doing a whole lot of readings in my life, I've come to see that there are certain truths about relationships that apply in all cases. And people that are having a really hard time in relationship are usually people that are ignoring these truths. People whose relationships are going better are usually people who are aware of these. Maybe not the exact words of the truths that I'm going to share with you, but they're practicing it on some level. They're actually living it, these golden truths, I call them, about relationships. We're just going to go through these real quick and remind you of what some of these are. Number one, the first truth is we are the ones who choose our partners, not the other way around. I had to include this one because I had so many clients who come to me really believing that somehow their partner just took them over and they had no choice about it. Like, they made me be with them. Well, the truth is nobody can make us be with anybody, and we have all the choice in the world about it. And we are the ones who choose. So, you know, stop thinking that. Stop thinking you didn't choose it. If you're with somebody, you chose to be there. You may not remember having made that choice, but the truth is you did choose. So if you don't remember making that choice, that would be a good thing to work on. That would be a great thing to take a look at. You know, when did I choose this? How did I choose this? When could I have said no? When could I have chose something differently? Did I choose something? Why didn't I choose something differently? Even if somebody comes to you with a really strong will, all you have to say is no and mean it. If you mean it, they'll go away. Nobody's going to push themselves on you unless they're at gunpoint. Truth number two, no one can make us stay in a bad relationship but ourselves. It's basically kind of the same thing. You can get into a bad relationship, and then if it's not working for you, you have the ability to leave at any time. If you stick around, it's your choice. I remember having a relationship once where it lasted almost 2 years, and we would just keep breaking up. We broke up. We would break up because we'd have a fight, and it just went on and on and on. I think in less than 2 years, we must have broken up like 15 times. I lost count, basically. And I thought I must be going crazy. I really started to doubt my own sanity because of the way I was being about it. I would break up and feel like it was over, and then I'd find myself back with her again and feel sort of like a fool. Like, you know, who am I and do I have any real say-so over my life? Well, at some point I finally really got clear that I really wanted it to end. And I had to, a situation came up where it was appropriate for me to file a restraining order against this woman because of what she had done. And it was amazing to me to watch how, when I got to the court, that I started to have second thoughts about it. I saw myself backsliding. And for the first time, I got a chance to see what was keeping me in the relationship. Like, I began to see what it was I liked about her that was keeping me in that relationship all the time. Whereas most of the time I was just spending saying, oh, I hate this relationship, I gotta get out of this relationship. But I wasn't aware of, I wasn't conscious of what was keeping me in the relationship until I was actually on the verge of really ending it. And then it became really clear and I saw the parts of myself that wanted to sustain that relationship. Now, that's the level of unconsciousness that we all have. We think we know what we want. We even tell ourselves and we tell everybody else what we know what we want. But in fact, we're not always really aware of what's going on our deeper level inside of ourselves. In case you're wondering, I did end the relationship, and it officially did end for good and never did rekindle again after that. Just in case you're curious. Number four, truth number three, though together, we each choose our current relationship for our own personal and specific reasons. And this is real important. Like, there's this fantasy that we have about relationship, and I think it's just a general thing that most people have, is that if we have all these feelings for somebody, they must have the same feelings about us. They must feel the same way. This is like a prevailing notion in our society, you might say. That, you know, if I have feelings for somebody, they must have feelings for me in the same way. But actually, when two people are in a relationship, they can be in it for extremely different reasons, and they may not have any of the same feelings at all. They may be very different from each other. The feelings that they have and why they're in the relationship, the reasons they're in a relationship can be very different. And what they're experiencing in their relationship can be very different. You know, like if you're a moon card to somebody, and most relationships have a moon connection, it's much different to be the moon person than to be the sun person. That's just one example of it. But this goes even farther. It's like why you're in the relationship and what you're experiencing is completely your own experience. And it's a good idea to own that, that this is what you're experiencing. There's a, I was thinking about this song this morning called by Bonnie Raitt saying, I can't make you love me if you won't. And there's a line in there where she says, I feel the power, but you don't. And it's perfect. It says it all, that you can be in a relationship and you can feel like this person is the person of your dreams, but they do not feel that way at all. And it's if you found two people that actually had really close to the same feelings for each other, it would be almost like a miracle coincidence, okay? So your partner may be with you, but their feelings for you are not going to be the same as your feelings for them, and vice versa. Truth number four, all we can see in our partner is ourselves. And this is the hardest of all, because in a relationship, this is where the mirror that we see is the most difficult mirror to be with. So very few people can actually live this truth. And I'm not judging anybody for that. It's just a fact. It's very difficult to see the fact that, you know, what we love and what we don't love in our partner is actually in us. If you take a list, like just do a little inventory of what you love about your partner and what you don't like about your partner, you'll find that that list is what you don't like and what you like about yourself. Very interesting. Truth number five, we cannot hurt others and others cannot hurt us. We can only hurt ourselves. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt them. But really, when you examine those situations, and I've examined a lot of these with clients, the person they're really concerned about, you know, hurting is they're really concerned about themselves. Like, what's going to happen to them? Like, for example, I've had a lot of clients who are cheating on their spouse, and it's a big secret, and I would mention to them, you know, you're never going to have, like, the relationship of your dreams until you can be honest. And you can start by being honest with your husband and your wife, whatever. Oh, I could never hurt them that way. That's their response. And they truly believe that's the reason why they won't do it. But in truth, the real reason that they don't want to be honest is that they're afraid of what their partners will do to them if they find out. Maybe they'll lose their money. Maybe they'll get divorced upon and not get a good deal in the settlement. These are the real motives that are going on underneath lines like that. And you can only hurt somebody who's already attached. That's the other thing. Only a person who's attached can be hurt, and a person who's attached is already hurt. If I'm attached to you, and if I need you to be a certain way, and if you don't act a certain way, if acting other than my predefined way makes me unhappy, I'm the one with the problem, not you. It's my attachment that is the problem. And you are not hurting me when you're doing what it is you have to do to love yourself. I'm just hurting because I'm attached. You know, and I've had clients who are so into this, like, taking care of other people and being afraid of hurting them. I mean, it's like a person could come off the street and say, you know, that they don't even know. And they could walk up to and say, would you please give me $100? If you don't, I'm going to be really hurt. And they would feel compelled to give the money to them. That's how ludicrous it can be. You are not responsible for somebody else's hurt. They are. It's only their attachment and our attachment that hurts us and them. Truth number six. The best thing we can do to love and help our partner is to love ourselves. If I'm loving myself, if I'm feeling good inside, I have love to give. If I can be patient with myself, I can be patient with my partner. If I can be forgiving of myself, I can be forgiving with my partner. It really comes back to that mirror thing again. We treat our partners the same way we treat ourselves, because all we're really seeing is ourselves in them. That's what's going on. So it stands to reason that if I love myself, it will in turn love my partner. And believe me, if you practice that, your partner will notice it. they will feel loved by the fact that you are loving yourself more. All partners want them, they want their partner, whoever's in a relationship, they want their partner to love themselves. They want their partner to feel good because they know that when their partner's feeling good, everything feels good. That's how it works. Truth number 7, love always wants more of itself, and love always brings up everything unlike itself. To be in love with somebody, it means that we love the way we feel when we're around them. We open up. We want to have more of that. And we open up in order to feel that where we're normally closed. And that feeling, that euphoric feeling of falling in love, is just due to the fact that we have opened up to receive the love of a partner. In the process of opening up like that, in that way, to receive the love of somebody else, we now become much more sensitive to anything negative. And now our own fears will come up. They will be coming to the situation. Now we have much more, because we're so open and feeling so vulnerable, we have much more to lose now if something goes wrong, you see. So love has a way of bringing up those things that are still remaining inside of us to be healed. That's what being in a relationship will be. And the problem is we all make it our partner's fault when things go bad. We blame them. We ignore the lesson and do not take any responsibility and make it all the problem of our partner. This is where the rub is, and this is where the work is to be done. This is where there's a lot of work for all of us to do in our life. Truth number 8, lying destroys intimacy. No matter what we tell ourselves, why it's okay to lie to our spouse, the moment we are withholding from them, we've created a distance between them. Now, I've heard every excuse in the book from everybody, all kinds of people, about why it's okay to lie to your partner. Okay? But the truth is, as soon as you are withholding something from them, you're no longer as close as you were before. That's just the way it is. You know, and I've had extremes with clients, of course, you know. I mean, I've had extremes where people are like just living double lives. It's very common, just double lives, a life here and a life over there. And these people are really out of integrity with themselves. You know, they don't even know what to do anymore because they're so confused, because they've lost touch with who they are. That's what being in integrity means. To tell the truth is a way of being one with ourself. Integrity is the number one. Being one with ourself. Integrity. And that's the best reason to be honest. Either the universe, either God, or your partner is going to love you the way you are, or they will not love you the way you are. And you'll have to be the one to find out. Lying is a way of basically perpetuating the illusion that we can't really be loved for who we are. I have to hide some part of myself. I have to hide. I have to keep that away from my partner. They could never love that part of me. I've seen breakthroughs with clients who all of a sudden were honest with their partners. I could tell some stories, but we don't have time tonight. Truth number 9, marriage is not forever. It can be forever. We take vows as if it's forever, but the fact is that people change. We all change. And sometimes those changes cause it to be the best thing to not be together anymore. We grow. A lot of people get young, get married quite young. And as they mature, they see life differently. Their partner's goals and things change. Here's an old saying that I like, men get married with the hope that their wife will always stay the same. And women get married with the hope that their husband will change. Well, that seems pretty right on. You know, women want us to change, and we're thinking, this is like the cosmic joke, actually, of partnership. I just get a kick out of this when I think about it. Here a woman is picking a man, thinking, Yeah, he's not perfect, but you know what? He can change. I can change him, or, you know, he's changeable. Something along these lines, okay? The guy's thinking, oh my God, I finally met somebody who loves me just the way I am. Does that sound funny to you? That sounds funny to me. I find that hilarious. The woman's thinking, oh yeah, I can work with this guy. I can change him. The guy's thinking, oh my God, somebody loves me just for who I am. I finally found my soulmate. This is the woman I want to marry. She loves me the way I am. Now I don't have to change. I can be who I am. Amazing. The cosmic joke that gets played upon us. Okay, that ends our discussion tonight about relationship. We've gone over the time that we normally do on our discussion time. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to a song from my CD. My CD is called Bhakti Rock. Bhakti means devotion, music of devotion. And rock, of course, means let's get down and boogie. So it's called Bhakti Rock because it's devotional, Vedic or Indian or Hindu chants placed to a modern beat. On this break here, we're going to listen to the song Rama Rama. And the phone lines are open. We actually have two callers already on. Line 3 and line 2 are already taken, so you don't need to call in on those. We are going to take calls as soon as we come back after listening to Rama Rama from Bhakti Rock. That was Rama Rama from Bhakti Rock. That's the newest tune on the CD. I hope you enjoy it. We have calls. The lines are open. We're going to begin with Jackie from Mariposa, California. Her birthday is February the 12th, 1951. Are you there, Jackie?
Yes, I am. Hi. Happy New
Year. Hi, how are you? Why, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. I have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm new to this, and I was wondering, does the New Year bring a card with it?
Well, your birthday brings a card. Your birthday
brings
a whole new set of cards, and your birthday is coming up soon. Mm-hmm. But see, first of all, if you're new, I'll just tell you that your birth card, which is the main card that's for your whole life, is a King of Diamonds.
Okay.
And there's a lot of famous women who are King of Diamonds, like Sharon Stone is a King of Diamonds, mm-hmm. Angelina Jolie. So you have a lot of strength in you. You're a woman, but you have this kingly nature. Are you aware of that?
Well, I feel very androgynous, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you're gay or anything, although you might be because you're an aquarium.
No.
But you have a lot of power.
Yeah.
And a lot of leadership ability. See?
Yep.
All King of Diamonds do. So I can look at this next year for you. Do you have a specific area of your life that you're most interested in knowing about?
Actually, I don't. I guess it would be easier if I did, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, I like to help people who have questions.
Okay.
Do you work?
No. I'm retired, if you will. But I do a lot of activities, like volunteer activities and things.
Well, it's like you have a card of a lot of success in work this coming year. And I see also the possibility of your doing financial deals or like investing or something successfully. Really a good year for you to consider working partnerships or investments and work yourself if you have a desire to have more money or whatever. Okay?
Right.
I can see you making a lot of money like in June or July through an investment or through working some kind of deal with somebody else. Not necessarily an investment. It can just mean a financial arrangement with somebody else that kind of makes you money for both of you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I want to take a course in TAT, which is a healing technology. And I teach it right now, but I want to start taking in clients and working with them.
Okay.
And it's for relieving trauma.
Okay, and that's fine. Okay.
Wonderfully effective. And
how much success do you want, Jackie, at this? How many clients would you like to do in a week, son?
Maybe five or six. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's not something that I need to do financially, but
sure.
It's something that I want to do because I think it's great for people. It's great for our community to have people trauma-free.
Well, you don't need a reason for why you want to do it. I'm just asking you how much do you want to do it.
Yeah.
So because
five or six clients a week.
You could have as many as you want. You could have as many as you want this year, but the success of it lies in other people. Okay? In other words, making the right connections, letting people know about what you do, maybe hooking up with an existing establishment who already does similar things. That kind of connection. That's what
I've taught it to several hundred people, but because I can teach it as a self-help healing technique, but now I want to start bringing people into my home and doing individual therapy with them. So So that's okay. My goal this year.
Oh, good.
But it takes a little training to do that. And I just want to see what...
What I'm suggesting to you is that success in that is going to involve, and I'll say it one more time, it involves you making the right connections with other people.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what the year says. And I don't see any problem for you. I think you're going to have a lot of success this year.
Okay. And you said that I had several cards?
You have 17 cards, actually, times two.
Oh, okay.
I'm just telling you the main thing for the year.
Okay, great.
And, hoping to answer your question, so.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. It's great talking to you. Thanks for being my guest.
And you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay, our next caller is Raven. Raven is from Southern California. Whoa. Another Aquarian. This time she's born February the 11th, 1976. Are you there, Raven?
Hello, Robert.
Hi. Have you spoken before?
Yes, we have. I've been studying the cards for a while now. I think I called you just about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
And gave me a good perspective. It's always good to get your perspective on things.
Well, yeah, sure.
So,
I appreciate that.
I'm looking at my 33rd year spread. I have a Ace of Spades with a Nine of Spades planetary ruling card. And
yes,
I have the Nine of Spades sitting on Venus with the Two of Clubs, which is one of my karma cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a Nine of Clubs sitting in Saturn, which is the same as in my birth spread.
Are you sure those are the only negative cards you can find?
No. Those are the ones that are probably the most intense when I look at it.
Uh-huh.
The other ones I feel like I could probably maybe work with a little bit, hopefully. But I'm just wondering, if cards show up that are a Ace of Spades or a Nine of Spades, are those places of power for me, or are they places of double detriment? Also, in the Nine of Spades, the planet ruling card, 33rd year spread, I have the Ace of Spades sitting in Saturn on top of everything else.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, you do. Let me answer your question if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. That means you've got to stop talking for a minute.
I know.
Okay. So, first of all, when you find your own cards in your spreads, like you are, you're finding that you have an Ace of Spades you're an Ace of Spades birth card with a Nine of Spades ruler, and you're finding occurrences of those cards in your spreads, right? So, first of all, that means something. That means that, like, those parts of you will be activated at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, do you know the difference between the Nine of Spades part of you and the Ace of Spades part of you?
I think I do. I've been trying to connect with that ambitious part of me because I seem to be lacking that. I have a tendency to really go towards mysticism and spiritual things, and a lot of times I almost feel like it causes a barrier for me. It's almost like I have to adapt to society because there's a part of me that feels like I should just be living in a monastery wearing robes and study.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I spend a lot of time alone.
You are very much like that because, see, the Nine of Spades is a very mystical card. And you're also, it's very Piscean. Now, you're an Aquarian, but I bet you have a lot of Pisces in your chart, you know? I know you do, actually, because you're a Nine of Spades ruling card. And that's the kind of things that Nine of Spades or Pisces people would say, you know, like they want to just kind of be alone more, and they're drawn to more mystical things and not worldly things so much. But then the Ace part of you also has a little bit of ambition for things. You'd like to see some things get accomplished in your lifetime, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Yes, I've been I've been into body work, and when I do work on people through massage therapy, they notice I have people having profound experiences to where they just feel parts of them opening up. They are just kind of in awe. So I know I'm tapping into that part of myself, which is good.
Yeah.
And I keep having these feelings that I need to start writing. Because I've been studying for so long, and when The Secret came out, I was like, well, geez, I could have wrote that. And so there's these parts of me that want to express themselves because I feel like I do have all this knowledge that I should be sharing instead of just sitting at home and, you know, tending to my garden, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm just
wondering.
And
that's your Ace of Spades part. That's your Ace of Spades part. So, to answer your question, you have a Two of Clubs and a Nine of Spades in Venus. Well, that Nine of Spades could be you, okay? Having a real nice intellectual relationship with somebody. That's a Two of Clubs in Venus. It's like an intellectual kind of relationship.
Well, I don't know if you remember. I don't mean to interrupt you, but my companion, we have the same exact birthday, just different years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this pertains to him as well.
Well, then
that's
your companion. That's your companion.
So it's not necessarily all of a sudden we're going to break up.
No, it probably means you two are going to write something together.
Okay. Well, he is a musician, and we've been talking about music and vibrational frequencies and all that and color, sound, everything lately. So maybe, possibly.
But, you know, all I'm saying is the important thing here is it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's the thing you really want to know anyway. Is this going to be a bad thing? No, because that's his card. It's also your card. So the other thing about nines is that nines can represent fulfillment. They can represent the fulfillment of something that's been sought after for a long time. So you always have to have those other ways of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. There was a strange click on the line there. I didn't know what happened. So, you know, that's good. Now, your Saturn period is a little different, though. You have a Nine of Clubs and a Six of Hearts, and you also have a Five of Diamonds and Ace of Spades. Now, none of these are good cards to have in Saturn, okay?
Right.
And there will be something that happens relationship-wise in that period. I don't think it's going to be necessarily with your boyfriend, but it might be. You know,
okay.
Possible, because his card is there, right? He's an Ace of Spades, like you, right?
Yeah, and we go through all our 52-day periods together at the same time. So Saturn is always a little hectic anyway, and especially with Mercury going retrograde.
Is he the same age as you, or is he younger or older? Or?
He's actually 6 years younger than me.
6 years younger, okay. So, you know, what you're experiencing now, he'll experience in 6 years.
Exactly.
But, you know, you have cards of potential breakup, and it's entirely possible that that's what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll still live beyond that.
Oh, no, I know.
It should happen.
Just,
you'll survive it.
Yeah, I think I was more looking for either relationship or health issues, or if it's just everything I've been wanting to do and all the things, tools I've been gathering the last 10, 15 years, if it's time to step forward with those and really make that transformation within myself.
Well, I mean, you have great cards for getting your business out there and doing things more. I'm just talking about that one period of the year, okay?
Okay.
That one period of the year is going to be a difficult period, and it's going to be difficult in the area of relationship. I don't know. It's too early to say what the theme is going to be or what the issue will be. It's way too early to even predict that. Okay?
Right.
But, you know, but the rest of the year is great. And you have a Three of Hearts, you have a Three of Hearts displacement. It might be your own uncertainty that will be the factor here. Do you understand?
It might be what?
Your own uncertainty might be the
right.
cause of whatever occurs in the Saturn period.
Okay, I could see that playing out because he definitely wants to get married, and I find myself being really hesitant.
Yeah.
Just because I believe in commitment, but I don't know if I believe anymore in the old school marriage tradition. And
well,
so,
you know,
I don't
it
know.
It sounds like he might be a little bit more insecure than you are. Now,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but see, you guys are the same birth card. You guys got together because you're mirrors of each other. Do you understand? And he represents your insecure side. You don't get to see
yeah.
that as much with him because he's the one that's playing it out more. Do you understand?
Right.
He's
well,
the
it's,
one,
it's really...
even, he's your mirror, but he's the one who's acting it out the most for no reason, particular reason. That's just the way it is, okay?
It's really interesting because I do find that when we go into our Saturn period together and then Mercury goes retrograde, that for the last 2 years, and I asked him if he was going to start this tradition, but some immature part of him comes up and it causes a big breakdown in our home, in our relationship, and
what
it seems to be around
part?
That same
time. What do you mean immature part? What do you mean by that? What does
well,
that mean?
He'll overspend financially. It's always around finances.
Oh, I see.
But he'll just be irresponsible, and then I have to scramble to save the sinking ship, which I don't think it's fair for me to have to clean up someone else's mess.
So I could
see that coming up, and it's, for some reason, it always happens in Saturn. And I made a joke of it this last time, like, geez, you're starting this tradition. I will, you know, prepare for the next Saturday.
So did you hear the talk I gave tonight about relationships when the show started?
Yes, I did.
We always blame our partner, and we never realize that it's actually us. Isn't that amazing?
Right. I know.
And you really think it's him.
I know. I need to crack the whip.
He always starts this thing in Saturn.
Oh. Or I just need to take hold of the ship and play captain for Saturn. I don't know.
Well, you got to take some responsibility for what you experience. That's all.
Right.
That's what we all need to do. It's not just you. It's what happens in most relationships. People blame the partner. They don't see their own part in it. It's so easy to see their part, not so easy to see our part.
Right.
You know.
That's true. It's very true.
And so,
well, I'm just glad to hear I'm going to survive my 33rd year.
Oh, of course you're going to have a great year.
I won't be trying to ascend before I'm actually really ready to go.
Yeah, I know all you nine of spades think you're out of here this lifetime or something. You know, you can't help it.
It's true.
And we're all, and the rest of us are tired of hearing it.
And no, we have not come here to save the world either.
Oh, yes, you have.
Aww.
In your own mind, of course.
Of course.
Well, Raven, it's great to have you as a guest. Please call in again
right.
after your year starts.
All
and
right.
let us
I
know how things
will.
Are going. All right?
All right, I will. Well, you take
right.
good
have
care.
Thank you very much, Raven. Have a great
okay.
night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. Well, that was so much fun. We're going to take another break now and listen to a song. We do have line 4 is taken and line 3 is taken. So line 2 is now available. When we come back, we'll talk to Janine and Beth. On this break, we're going to listen to the song Krishna Lullaby from my CD, Bhakti Rock. We'll be right back after Krishna Lullaby.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Three.
Okay, right. That was Krishna Lullaby from my CD Bhakti Rock. We have all the lines are full, so you can wait until a caller hangs up if you would like to call in tonight. Our next caller is from the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. Her name is Janine. Her birthday is August the 14th, 1964. Are you there, Janine?
I am here, Robert.
How are you?
I'm alive.
Staying up late.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I spoke to you once a little over a month ago, and yesterday my mother called me, and she lives in Florida, and for Christmas she ordered me your book, Love Cards, and it's on its way to me in the mail now.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm so excited because I want to be able to look at my own stuff.
Yeah, of course. Of course you do. We all want to be able to know what's going on, and it's handy to have the book. You don't have to ask anybody else. Or
wait,
it's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're always welcome to call in, but you'll enjoy the book, and you'll be able to look up everybody else's stuff, too.
That's fun.
Yeah. So how's the year going so far for you?
It's not good. I'm having a rough time with my husband still. You told me to listen to him, and I would gladly do so if he would talk to me. We're still in a, stalemate, I guess. He's still not willing to break down, and he's afraid, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know...
He spoke to his best friend. He won't talk to me. I want him to tell me he loves me. It doesn't matter if he tells his best friend. Tell me. Tell me you're miserable. Tell me you love me. Call me on the phone.
Now, what's your husband's birthday again?
9/1/85.
September 1st.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's, where is he again?
He's a Ten of Diamonds.
Ten of Diamonds, Eight of Spades, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, he's a perfect marriage partner for you, but, you know, now here's another example. Were you listening earlier when I was talking about relationships?
I only got the last, like, 2 seconds of it because I got home late from work. I was trying so hard to get here on time, but we have icy roads, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, basically, one of the themes of the talk tonight was relationship and how it's the hardest area for us to be responsible for, you know, like to feel, we always want to blame our partner for what's going on, in other words, you know. Now, I don't know your husband, I don't know if he's a saint or a sinner or what, but I do know that your experience of the relationship is your experience.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, I don't know. You have a Nine of Hearts as your challenge card this year.
What does that mean?
That means that either the relationship has to end or you have to change in some real significant way yourself.
You did say that to me. You said that I had to be different. I took notes on everything you said.
Well, good.
Challenge card. I have to change. Here's the thing. Like, right now, I'm feeling... I just want to talk to him, and I've done everything humanly possible to try to communicate, you know, text messages and emails and voicemails once in a while, and now I've stopped that at the advice of an astrologer who said, if there's a three-week something going on, and you got to wait till that passes, so try to take a break from it.
You're talking about Mercury retrograde.
Is that what it is? The next 3 weeks are supposed to be hellish on communications. This is what I've been told.
Well, things get confused, mixed up, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, right now, I want to talk. I want to work out what's got him where he's at. So how is it me doing that? I'm not keeping him from talking.
Well, here's the thing. It may be, you know, first of all, you know you're a club, okay? And your need to talk is way bigger than other people's need to talk.
It sure is.
And men don't like to talk as much in general. Do you understand?
Yes.
And what you're calling a lack of communication on his part is probably him just being a guy.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No, I'm just telling you. Like, you're not going to find somebody better, you know, unless maybe it's a guy-girl.
Ooh. No. Oh, no, I love the way he is. Everything about him is the most fantastic. I mean, he is the
greatest. Any woman who expects a man to like to talk as much as they do is living in an illusion.
Right, I know. But to not talk at all, that's... the silent treatment, but it's not even the silent treatment. It's more than that. It's, I can't talk to you because I'm not supposed to, so I'm avoiding all contact so we don't have any more conflict. But how are we supposed to remain married if he never speaks to me again so he can come home? It's, like, weird.
Well, it sounds like your relationship might already be over and you just don't know that.
No. No, because he talks to my son, he talks to my best friend, he talks to his best friend. It's only me. He's on the advice of a doctor, a psychiatrist, because there was a mental thing that went on and he was put in the hospital and they told him to avoid contact. But I don't know if they gave him a time frame.
Well, he's probably fine. He's just doing what his doctor told him to do.
Right. Right.
Why can't you be understanding?
I'm understanding that he was advised not to have contact under that circumstance.
No, but you're not understanding his choice. He's choosing not to contact you. You're not understanding that.
Okay.
That's what you're not understanding. You need to understand that. It's the hardest thing to do, I'm telling you, but that's what you got to do. You got to let go of him. If you're ever going to have him, you got to let go of him. You know, Leos can be very pushy. Did you know that?
I am.
Leos are very pushy, and they always want to get their way, and they're aggressive, and they go out and go get what they want. And sometimes that drives people away from them, especially in the area of love.
Yep.
Because you can't push love.
No, no. Oh, I know he loves me. That's not the issue. It's where we're standing right now. That's why I wanted to see if you saw something
I know that's where you're standing, but I still think you're pushing it. You need to let go.
Okay.
That's what I see.
Yes, you're person number three to tell me that. That's why I've stopped trying to contact him, and I just said, I love you, and if you want to talk to me, you will, and I'm here. And I just kind of...
That's it.
Trying to do that as best I can, and it's been an entire day.
It's only been one day?
Yeah, that I decided to stop. You know, I was trying to be reassuring. I'm here when you want to talk. I love you. All the time I love you. I wanted to make sure that he knew that I was still there.
Yeah, but usually that kind of behavior is just in a way to get their attention to the hoping they'll talk to you again. You know, like we're overly nice, but really what we just want them to talk to us. You gotta call me back when you've not bugged him for at least 2 weeks. Then call me and we'll talk. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You call me after you've practiced this for 2 weeks. Yeah. And then we'll talk. Because then you've done your part.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes.
I know you can do it, but you're going to have to really work at it. It's not going to come natural to you.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, I know. But you can do it.
It's possible. My wedding anniversary is Valentine's Day. I would like us to communicate with each other before that happens.
But you got to let go of what you like and what you want. That's your big problem here, is that you're all about yourself.
And...
Well, no one's in this world to just be there for you. That's not, no one's job is to be here for you and keep you happy.
No,
unless
I
somebody
know that.
Volunteers for that. No, you don't know that. I'm saying it because you need to hear this, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Just as a reflection, I think anybody listening tonight would tell you the same thing. Just listening to you talk, you're all about yourself. And you're not thinking about him and what he needs right now, what he's going through. And I'm suggesting that you can take a different standard where you can actually become compassionate and concerned about his welfare more than your own. You can do it. It's within you because you're a queen. You know how to be service-oriented. Well, ask yourself, how can you serve this man? Stop demanding that things go the way you want them to go. Get that notion out of your mind that things have to go to make you happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that's the best advice I can give you. I know it's hard advice. I've had the same problem myself. I've been through this in my own life. So, you know, it's really hard for us to get out of ourselves long enough to see that, you know, that we're acting fairly selfishly a lot of the time. It's hard to see that. So, Janine, I'm going to let you go, and I hope to hear back from you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. I'll have my book by then.
Well, good. We'll have a great conversation.
Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks for calling tonight.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is from Atlanta. We have East Coast people calling in, and they're staying up late, so we want to get to them. This is Beth from Atlanta, and her birthday is November the 15th, 1959. Are you there, Beth?
I am here. How are you, Robert?
I'm great. What's up?
Well, I was calling you because I met someone actually on my birthday that had the same birthday as I do, but he was much younger than I am.
Yeah.
And we had a relationship for about 3 weeks, and then he kind of bowed down to his friends and their thoughts about what is right in a relationship and what isn't, and he ended the relationship. But I feel like he's, just looking at our spreads, he's like in my cards like all year, and I'm in his, and I just don't know if, I mean, I know there was probably nothing that could probably have been in the future, but, you know, we did have a wonderful relationship during the time that it existed, and I just want to know if it's completely over.
Well, you need to live your life as if it's completely over. You need to move on in your life, okay?
Okay.
That I can tell you for sure. That,
all right.
You know, just from the story you've told me and hearing your voice and everything, you're much more attached to him than he was to you. Even though you make up a nice excuse for him and say that it was his friends or, you know, they contributed, it was him that made the decision.
That's okay. True. I agree with that.
Yeah. He made the decision, and his decision was to end it with you. Now, I don't know the nature of your relationship. I mean, how it went from day to day and, you know, if it was great all the time or if you had problems or whatever. But for some reason, he decided, and maybe it was only because he's a five of clubs and it was time to move on. You know, it might be just for that reason. Or it may be that there was some stuff that came up between you that he didn't want to be around for. I don't know. But it's obvious to me that he's let you go and that you're more attached to him than he is to you. Follow me?
Yeah, I think I was at the time.
I think you still are.
I guess maybe I am in a way. Although
he's
I really
calling,
don't
he's
feel
not
like...
calling me up asking me if you're going to come back.
Well, that's true.
You know, he's kind of moved on, I think. So,
yep,
you know,
I guess you're right.
I think it's good to just kind of look at the reality of it and say, oh, he's gone, he chose to leave. You know, you can have a story about it if you want, but it's not going to change the fact that he's gone. Now, he may come back to you. You never know. I mean, I don't know the whole, like I said, I have to say again, I don't know the whole situation. I don't know why he left. You might know that. I don't know that, but you might know it. Who knows? But the bottom line is, he's definitely gone. He chose to leave. And, you know, why would he change his mind? Well, he might change his mind. Anything's possible. And you seeing him in your cards could be him possibly, but not necessarily. Right?
That's true,
too. The best thing for you to do is to be happy and to deal with whatever feelings you have around him. You have feelings for this man, I can tell. You wish he would come back.
I do, okay. And at the same time,
yeah.
I feel a lot of anger.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you can be honest about that. So you have all these feelings you're left with after the relationship ended, okay?
Right.
And that's what you have to be with now. And those are your feelings. They're not about him, actually. Even though you're angry at him, The anger you have is really more about you than him, but you don't know that yet, perhaps. You might be able to find out, though. Okay? You have good things to look forward to this year, and I would, if I were you, I would focus on the good.
Okay, well, that's good advice.
You know? I mean, you can have, you'll have love in your life again.
Yes, I believe that.
I do, too.
I just, I don't know, it just seemed like such a karmic match, you know? The fact that we had the same birthday.
You can't, but see, you can't really see this thing clearly, because you're already, there's some attachment there you have. There's some kind of a fantasy about it that you've made up about it for yourself that has put it into a different category for you. Basically, you got yourself in a situation where you wanted the relationship a lot more than he did.
That's probably true.
It's like that song I was talking about earlier. I can't make you love me if you don't, you know, by Bonnie Raitt. She's a Scorpio, too, by the way. and the line in there says, I feel the power, but you don't. See?
But like, see, that's a strange thing. I know that when we were together, he did feel that way.
Well, I don't think so. I think that's your. I think that's the problem, is that you think he did, and you think he must have, but I say, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I have to trust your judgment, because you're
from
the point of view.
I may not be right about it, but I think it's worth considering that, because. See, when we're in love with somebody, we don't see things clearly anymore because we are so full of what we're getting out of the whole deal. Do you understand?
Yes, I do know what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Like the woman that I'm married to now, Desiree, my wife, I was in love with her 20 years ago. And when we dated back then, I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And I was totally addicted to being with her. And she left me. She left me, and she wouldn't even have anything to do with me after she left, you know. And that was really difficult. It took me years and years to figure out for myself, why was I so attracted and attached to her? Why did it take me so long to get over her? I thought about her for like 7 years. I learned such a valuable thing, though, in all that, you know, about myself. I had to own some of the stuff first before it all sort of made sense. But it was the attachment I had. I was attached to her because she made me feel, she helped me to feel something about myself that I couldn't feel on my own. Do you understand? That was my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is yours. This is what it was with me and her back then. So, you know, it wasn't until I worked on myself and I healed myself and got, you know, to where I love myself more, that she actually showed back up in my life. I wasn't even expecting it, you know. I was never expecting to see her again. But after a particularly strong period of personal growth, all of a sudden, magically, she was standing there. And I said, yes, I still would like to be with you. See? But I had to really be honest with myself and face the fact that there was a hole inside of me that I was trying to use her to fill up. And I think that's what you've done with him on a certain level. Maybe not as strong as mine, but it feels, has a similar feeling to it. Okay?
Maybe so, because if we felt like we were so much alike, but then didn't end up that way, so I don't know. Or maybe more than I know.
Well, you know you're alike in lots of ways, absolutely. And, you know, but the mirror of being with somebody who's your same birth card, is it can be really intense. And most people wouldn't choose that much intensity.
No, it was extremely intense.
Yeah. So, you know, that may be too much for some people. And it's important that you can, you know, recognize that and be okay with it. Like, you know, not everybody wants it that intense. It's okay not to want it that intense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Robert.
Yeah.
I appreciate your input.
You're very welcome, Beth. I know there'll be more love in your life if you're open to it.
Well, I've been kind of scared about that, but I know it's there, so.
See, Beth, the thing about it is every relationship you go into, you're gonna be with the same person every single time. That person is you.
Right.
You bring all the same stuff to the party. And this guy has just helped you to see a different part of yourself. Maybe you haven't seen this in a while. But it's great if you look at it that way. I mean, you've just had, like, an education that you could pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for in counseling to get.
Sure,
you had it
very
like
true.
In a short context, you know. So, you know, I would be grateful for this. Whatever you can glean from this experience that can help you understand yourself more
mm-hmm.
would be fantastic.
Yes,
for you.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. And
well, that's why I called, because I really wanted to understand.
You know, all the wonderful things that you felt for him were your
mm-hmm.
feelings that you have. Only you have those feelings. They're not anybody else's. They are yours. It's your heart you're listening to, not his. His heart didn't make you feel those things. Your heart felt them because you have the capacity to feel those things.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Which is good news, because now you can go on
yeah.
and have that. Because it's with you. It's not with him. It's with you. You're the one that has that, not anybody else. Okay?
Okay, great.
Give that some
Thank
thought.
You.
And, you know, proceed ahead here. You got, shoot, I see love in your future if you're ready, in March even.
All right. Well, thanks, Robert.
Okay. You're welcome, Beth.
Right,
great having you
have
on
Have a good
show.
Evening.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is great that we've had these callers tonight, because most people are having these relationship questions, and it kind of goes along just with the talk this evening. And we're getting a chance to see how it plays out in real life. We've had a lot of people with same birthdays tonight. Very interesting. And our next two callers are also the same birthday, which I can't wait to talk to them, Brenda and Kathleen, both Jack of Diamonds, born in January. We're going to take a short break, though, here, and then come back and talk to Brenda and Kathleen. And we'll probably have time for one more caller after them. If you're still thinking of calling in, line 3 was just opened up and is available. On this break, we're going to listen to the song Shri Ram from Bhakti Rock, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Brenda from Manitoba, Canada. Be right back.
Yeah.
Sriram He Sita Ram He Hanuman Lakshmana Ram He Raja Ram
Welcome back. That was Sri Ram. Ram was the god, he was the incarnation of Vishnu, the god of the sustaining god in India. He was the incarnation of Vishnu before Krishna. Krishna was also an incarnation of Vishnu. And when Vishnu comes down, there's always a great battle, a great fight to rid the world, to cleanse the world of an accumulation of demonic forces. So similarly to Ram and Krishna both were warriors and fought great battles. Our next two callers have the same birthday, different years, and our first one is Brenda. She's from Manitoba. She's born January 16, 1953. Are you there, Brenda?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, Jack of Diamonds. How are you?
I am fine.
Good to hear that.
Jack of Diamonds.
Yep. How's sales going these days?
Sales are going great.
I mean, you know, you are a sales card, so I had to ask.
Okay.
So what's up for you? Would you like a reading tonight? What's up?
I would love a reading on if it's a good year to expand my business.
Okay, so you know you're in the Neptune period right now. You know this, right? Or do you not know that?
I mean, a what?
You're
I'm
in the period.
I didn't
of the
catch
year.
That. I mean,
you're in the period of the year called Neptune.
Okay.
You probably didn't know
I'm
that,
really new
right?
to this, so.
Okay, good. So I'll fill you in. It's the last period before our birthday. And we call it the hopes and fears. Period. Okay? So the one thing that's real important about Neptune is you should never make important decisions in Neptune. Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
And I'm talking to Kathleen, too, who's the next caller, because she's got the same birthday as you, and you're both in the Neptune period. And it will end on your birthday, which is not too long from now. But, you know, save any important decisions till after your birthday. I'd wait at least a week until after your birthday. Okay?
Okay.
Now, looking ahead, this could be a really good year for you. What is it that you want to accomplish in this next year?
I want to expand the business to to having a whole clinic.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I don't see any problem. I think you can absolutely do it. I think it's going to be very successful.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an auspicious year.
That's great.
It's a very good year.
I'm sorry.
And one won't come very often, and you need to take advantage of it. You need to, like, be ready to, you know, do things like you're talking about, expand, create ways for more income to come in your life, basically. And, you know, in doing this, I'll just say one more thing, Brenda. Make sure that you find ways to publicize what you're doing. Okay?
Okay.
Are you listening?
Advertise.
Well, no, not necessarily. You know, advertising costs money.
Right.
As a general rule, I don't like to pay for advertising. It's way too expensive, and it rarely works. So be very careful with that. There's lots of free ways to get the word out about what you're doing. Lots of them. Okay? Like being a guest on a local radio show and talking about what you're doing, for example.
Okay.
You got there. Got having the newspaper write an article about your business and what you're up to. That's another example. Follow me?
Yes.
So you need to think about getting out into the spotlight and being noticed, and everything will work out just fine after that. Okay. It's going to be a very successful year for you. But get the word out there, and look, there's all kinds of free ways to get the word out there. Lots of them. Also, you could give talks. You could have public, you know, a talk, something on something health-oriented that people could come to for free, and then tell them all about the center. You know how to sell things. I don't need to tell you all this. But promotion and getting out to the public is what's the key factor for you this year, okay?
One quick question regarding that. Is it a good time to have partners?
Business partners, like financial investors or whatever?
Someone that wants to do the same type of work? Like in a clinic setting, so a bigger...
Well, if you're going to have a clinic with people there, I mean, I assume you would have other people working there, right?
Not yet.
Well, let's think about that. If you're going to expand, how are you going to expand? You can't do it all yourself.
Yeah, it has to be, yeah. Okay.
Right. All right. So you've already answered your question.
Yes. I realize that.
Good. That's great. Very good. You get an A+.
Thank you.
Okay, well, have fun and let us know how it's going. Give us a call back in a few months, all right? I don't have time to answer any more quick questions tonight, but we'll talk again some other time.
That's all the quick questions.
All right.
Thank
great.
You so much.
Take care, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller has the same birthday, but she's January 16, 1965, and she's calling from Austin, Texas. Her name's Kathleen. Are you there, Kathleen?
I am. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, and did you hear the last caller with the conversation?
I did.
Oh, good. You're somewhat prepared.
I am. I've listened to it all evening, so I have lots of good information tonight. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So is there a specific question or issue I can help you with?
Well, it was kind of like the lady before me with my birthday coming up. I have lots, in my 44th year, lots of spades to look forward to this year. And since the theme of the evening is relationships, I'm wondering if there's any room for love in this hard-working year I have coming towards me.
Well, that's a good question. It's not like you have any love cards this year at all.
I know.
You may not have time for any love this year. No,
yeah.
I mean, you can have love. I mean, Is it hard for you to attract somebody into your life?
You know, in past years, it never was. About 5 years ago, I divorced, and so over the past 5 years, it's certainly been a different type of romance. Has been a different form. You know, it hasn't been as easy, and of course, it's free. I'll say forthcoming as it has been in the past. Now that I'm a single mom, so. You know, my priorities have certainly changed and needed to. So, you know, I've also in the last 2 years been laid off two different times. So I'm finally have my feet on the ground job-wise. So that's been a high priority for me as well. So I expect that has a lot to do with the spades coming.
Well,
out.
Yeah, if our focus is on our work a lot for whatever reason, that can sort of, you know, preempt relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, your birthday is kind of 50-50 for a relationship to begin with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a freedom thing with all Jack of Diamond people. Are you aware of that part of yourself?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy that part.
And that part also could keep you from, you know, wanting to go too far with anybody.
That's possible.
Yeah. In my experience, Jack of Diamonds people, they'll start a relationship up, and then when they see it's really starting to get serious, they'll find some way to get out of it. They start looking for the exit.
historically, I'm one of those long commitment kind of girls. Is that the Six of Clubs speaking there?
Yeah, the Six of Clubs part of you will definitely be that way. But I get the feeling like you've grown past that.
I kind of feel it the last several years. I certainly have grown in that area. A lot of what you spoke to this evening earlier, I felt like I've traveled this path. And it resonated deeply with me. So I do think that I have grown. I'm shedding my skin to a certain degree.
And you might have grown in a way that you may have chosen on some level. You may, in your mind, it's possible you may have decided that another one of these long-term relationships is not in the cards for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that you have. I'm just suggesting that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I have that in the back of my head, and one of the things you said earlier this evening about, you know, have you had an experience in romance that hurt you so badly that you think, oh, I'm not going to do that again. That's what I try to balance out and be aware of, that I'm not going to that extreme, right?
Well, if you got really hurt, you wouldn't want to put yourself in that situation again.
Right. But I don't want to close myself off to love either.
Well, the thing about it is, see, people make those kind of choices, but that's not a really conscious choice because they didn't learn anything, you know? They didn't, like, anything that hurts us in a relationship is an opportunity to learn something about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to run away from love and just say, well, that just doesn't work for me, that's like giving up on ourselves, on getting to know who we are. Because I think anybody can work on themselves and have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my clients lately, I recommend to them when I talk to them, I say, don't even think about starting a relationship with somebody unless you got a counselor on call. You know, and people never think about that. They think, oh, a counselor. I don't need a counselor. There's nothing wrong with me. And they're like not taking advantage of an incredible resource that could bring them success in an area where they haven't had great success.
Yes, I agree. I've had quite a few counselors in my life. They're still in my life, I'm happy to say, so.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then, but also picking a partner who's all for that too, you know, like
mm-hmm.
making sure that the next person that you're with is ready to go into counseling with you.
Yes, that is important.
Because of that. It'll help you so much.
Yes, I have found in my past relationship, I would tell people that I did all of the work. So I would do, I always say I did like the PowerPoint presentation for my relationship. I had the charts, I had the graphs, I did everything, and they just went, okay, great, you know, and I was the one doing all of the legwork.
Yeah. So you want somebody who can do that equally with you.
Exactly.
That's a better choice.
Yes.
Well, there aren't a lot of love cards this year, but, you know, any cards in Venus can be love cards. And there's a King of Diamonds there. Maybe there's some diamond guy you're going to hook up with.
All right. Well, we'll see.
You know, be open and see what happens.
Yes, I will. That's what I'm all about.
Well, that sounds... I believe you.
Yeah. I always enjoy your show, and I really appreciate all of your work and the great information that you bring forth.
Thanks so much for saying that. I appreciate hearing it.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great night, and thanks for being my guest.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Good night, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our last call tonight is called before. She's a client. I don't know how many times she's called. She's got the most amazing name. Her name is Monique Antoinette. Can you believe that? She's born January 10th, 1967. Are you there, Monique?
I am here.
And how is the Queen doing tonight?
I'm good.
Are you feeling queenly?
I'm not.
Oh, well, you need somebody to kiss your feet or something.
Is that what I need?
Feet kissing is very effective, I've found.
Kissing is good. Kissing is good.
People bowing down to you, I mean, you know?
You know what? I'm not feeling good physically, and that's why I'm calling you this evening.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, and so here's the story. I've got all these incredible things going on in my life. Things that were created that are, you know, they're here, they're happening. I'm excited about, and I realize, and I believe it's thanks to the Ten of Diamonds that I had in the displacement position last year. I think the breakthrough for me was I always have these health issues. And mm-hmm. I feel like I need to get to the root of this because it's in the way of me getting all these wonderful things accomplished. And mm-hmm. I'm over it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So one thing I would say to you, Monique, is that you have to understand that the part of you that's getting sick is not something you have a conscious control over. Right now. I'm not saying you can't get conscious about it, but I'm saying that up till now, it's working in the background. You don't understand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand and, that.
And it's something that you may not really know where it's coming from yet because you just haven't looked hard enough or looked closely enough to see. But there is a part of you that is generating this health thing for a very important reason. Okay? I mean, if it wasn't important, it wouldn't be happening so consistently.
Okay.
So even though it seems like it's a real hassle to you, there's some other part of you that's hanging on to this ill health like it's like your life depends on it. It means something to you in a big way, but you don't know what it is. Okay? So
your job
is to, first of all, realize that the part of you that wants to be sick is a way lot bigger part of you than you imagine right now. You think, you know, with your mind that you have, that you don't want to be sick, but you don't realize that there's a much greater part of you that wants to be ill. It's not in your cards, by the way, to be ill. Your birthday doesn't have a history. This is not a card that's normally associated with ill health, your birthday.
Oh, good.
No, yeah, it's not. So what the thing you're experiencing is not something that's normally karmically associated with people born January the 10th.
Okay.
Now, it might have been with somebody born on January the 11th, you know. They might.
You know what? On that note, as you're speaking, it's something that I thought about. I have a Three of Spades sister.
Yeah.
And I watched her. She was the child in the family who sucked up the oxygen in the room. I learned from watching her that being sick got you attention.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so
that may have something to do with it. That may be true. But see, when you know, when you really find it, Monique, it's not going to be any doubt about it. You're going to know that's exactly what it is. Okay?
Okay.
When you find out what it really is, there will be no doubt. You'll go, that's the reason.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to, like, wonder if it's the reason or not. When you really find the real thing that it really is, you'll say, oh, my God, that's it. Okay? So that's what you're looking for.
And then that'll be the end of it?
And yes, it will be the end of it, yes.
Okay.
You know, I don't know, I haven't done a reading with you, have I? I don't think I've done a reading with you.
No, but you will be soon.
There may be some information in your chart that could shed some light on this. Actually, I'm fairly certain there would be when you're ready, you know.
Okay.
Let me get in touch with me. Because sometimes in astrology, there's things, there's past life things that are indicated. There's things that are more or less unconscious. I can actually see unconscious stuff in people's charts frequently, not always, but frequently. I can see subconscious forces playing themselves out in the chart. And then it's helpful because then you can see, like, well, you get an idea of where to put your energy to get things to change, you know. What's
and
the best
that
way
is
to
my
go
goal. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I believe you. I know you have, being an Ace of Diamonds ruling card, you have to be ambitious and you have to, you're not going to be happy until you see yourself really accomplish some things in your lifetime.
Exactly. And I see that this health issue is going to slow me down.
Well, it already has.
It has. I think that's one of the reasons why the book didn't get finished. Last year,
yeah.
I had illness after illness, and I'm just over it.
Yeah, and like just when you have something really great to do, you get sick.
Exactly.
See, there's a part of you that is sabotaging your own success, but it's an unconscious force in your life. It's not something that you can put your finger on yet. So your only job here now is to find out what that is. And you have to go inside for that, for the answers to that. You know, or just keep asking the question. Just say, God, you know, I want to know, why do I keep sabotaging myself? I know I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. I want to understand it so that I can act differently in the future. That's all that you really want. You just want to be able to act differently. So with awareness, that's a possibility, with consciousness. So you need to be able to see what you cannot see yet. That's all.
Okay.
All right?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Monique. Let us know how things are going, okay? Give us a call back.
I will. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you. I will. I appreciate you saying that. Have a great week yourself.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's one Ace of Diamonds ruling card to another. Have a great week. Yeah, you too. Always full of optimism, even in the midst of all kinds of things going on. Well, this concludes our show this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. I had a lot of fun with everybody. Thanks for all of you who called in, and also thanks for all of you who are just listening and enjoying the show. I appreciate getting emails from you, feedback, ideas, suggestions, or whatever. We're going to close our show now with our favorite song, which is called Gayatri. This is an ancient mantra from ancient India, the Gayatri mantra. Put to music. It's more on the meditative side than the other songs on my CD. And I hope it puts you into a relaxed state for a beautiful rest of your evening. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night. We'll see you here again next week. Good night. Om.
Hello, this is Mariko May. I'm really happy you're enjoying the rich variety of music on bbsradio.com. Please give me a visit at www.marcome.com. Hope to see you.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
And you're saying maybe even more.
It puts out more.
Puts out more, then that huge engine would be a lot easier to build, fewer moving parts, and displaces the same cubic inches in terms of the amount of cylinder space, and yet it's just this little tiny thing. And you said earlier when we were talking today that your engine is basically integrates the same technology but just packages it differently.
That is correct. When we were at the LA International Show, when people see the engine for the first time in person, they are just amazed because it is the same engine that they are already familiar with. The internal components are the same as the 100-year-old standard international internal combustion engine. However, it's just basically configured in a different way. And so a lot of people are very quick to understand the working principles. They're very quick to understand that this is really not a new technology. It's just configured in a different way. And so they're sold on it. Thousands and thousands of people and companies visited us when we were in L.A. for 11 days. So at the same time, by the time we won the NASA technical brief in, I believe, 2005, and got the award in 2006, we figured that was enough exposure to get us going. But like I said, the deals that we were trying to do at that time had to do with licensing, and it didn't happen the way we planned it. People, I guess, and companies didn't believe that I wanted to share this technology with the world. But like I said, when the crisis with the oil prices came about 4 or 5 months ago, that had changed. And as a result, we decided to go ahead and manufacture. And I myself was surprised to see how much feasible it could be because of the fewer moving parts that we have to manufacture. Therefore, with the available capital money, decide to go ahead and produce the engine. At the same time, I really, really want to do something to help the economy. I always have. I've always, if I wanted to cash in on this engine, I would have been a billionaire a long time ago. And I had gone through hell trying to prevent that, because I want the engine to be used in market. This engine is needed in the market. But not only that, through the last 2-3 years of development, we were lucky enough to come up with even cleaner running mighty engines. And they're even more compact and lighter and more advanced than the original mighty engine.
In one of the videos I was watching this evening, it shows an engine that would basically replace a typical automobile engine, and it's about the size of a alternator.
Well, to give you an example, let's say an SUV. Let's say the SUV runs on diesel. Let's say a V8 engine that weighs 800 pounds will be replaced by a 37-pound, 8 by 8 inches mighty engine. Let's just say the bigger engine, 8 by 8. and that's 37 pounds. Now, when you do that, you will have better fuel economy than a Toyota Prius. That's a 5,000 to 6,000 pound vehicle. You eliminate about 1,000 to 1,500 pounds out of it right from the get-go.
Yeah. The, one of the questions I have is, in terms of the efficiency of burning fuel, you seem to be burning fuel, there's less fuel that's going wasted through your engine. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. First and foremost is the drastic weight reduction from the vehicle by replacing 800 pounds of V8 engine with 37 pounds. Well, let's base this on a 5-inch engine. So that's with 25 pounds of 5-inch diameter mighty engine, an amazing 12 degrees of prolonged duration of EDC for an incredibly complete and efficient combustion burn, so therefore more energy is extracted from the fuel and put to use instead of waste, less friction. Example, mighty engine has only 11 moving parts versus the standard engine with hundreds of moving parts. Friction accounts for 25 to 30% engine losses. Less pumping loss, mighty engine has 8 pistons in one donut-shaped cylinder versus standard engine at 32 pistons in 32 separate cylinders for comparable 4 separate V8 engines. Since mighty engine gets 150 miles per gallon in the 5-inch design, 3 or 4 gallons in your tank is enough to get 400 to 600 miles of driving compared to a standard 15 to 20 gallon tank. Again, less vehicle weight. The other one is compression ignition, such as a diesel engine run almost twice as efficiently as the spark ignition, a gasoline engine, the mighty engine runs on diesel. Other proprietary techniques, technologies that we can't discuss at this time. So we have a lot of reasons why that is, but when you look at the size and you look at you're throwing away almost 3,000 pounds of weight and replacing that with 150 pounds, you already know that you're saving fuel in a very big way. Then the friction losses, the simplicity, it all adds up. But the biggest factor has to do also with the new fuel system that brings about not just fuel economy, but also the cleanliness that we can do with running on diesel. Eventually, we would like to run biodiesel, so it'd be even cleaner. But at the same time, with diesel fuel, we're using the fuel as the lubricant as well, too. So this engine will not require any oil change at all, ever. And the more biofuel you use, the better, because biofuel has better lubricating properties. So basically, it can be the answer to the energy crisis at the moment by using current diesel fuel, eventually getting into biofuel little by little, B20, B50, and ultimately 100% biofuel, soybean or coconut or palm oil or peanut or vegetable oil. That's the beauty about the diesel engines right now. It can run in multiple bar stops of biofuel.
We've got to go to break here, but when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit more about how that engine works and some of the multiple fuels that you can use.
Okay.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
I plugged the scan gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The scan gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The scan gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Attention restaurant owners, you've already seen the impact of these economic times. Your seats are empty. Your staff is sitting around with nothing to do. Your food is going to waste. What can you do? Use barter credits instead of cash with Premier Barter. We can show you how to use barter as a tool to increase business and save valuable cash. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers. Use your barter dollars for day-to-day expenses, more advertising for cash customers, and treat yourself and your staff to bonuses and gifts, all without spending cash. With offices in Arizona, California, and Colorado, Premier Barter is the ultimate cash management tool. Think you know barter? Think again. Premier Barter, 602-470-8020, or on the web at www.premierbarter.com. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers without spending cash. That's 602-470-8020 or www.premierbarter.com.
Free energy now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you with the Free Energy Now show. We are speaking tonight with Rafael Morgado. He is the inventor of the massive yet tiny engine, also called the Mighty engine. It's an internal combustion engine that features multiple firings in one cycle to give 40 times higher power to weight ratio, lower part count, lower maintenance, high mechanical efficiency, low pollution, and they are nearing production. We're going to be hearing it for the first time tonight. Rafael, before we went to break, you were talking about some of the different kinds of fuels you can put in here. The same engine could burn diesel. What about gasoline? What about hydrogen?
The Mighty engine is basically an internal combustion engine, equivalent to a four-stroke, or we also have two-stroke designs eventually. However, it can run on any type of fuel, whether it's natural gas, hydrogen, gasoline. I personally pick diesel or compression ignition engine because it's the most fuel efficient at this point. And with the introduction of biofuel such as soybean based, palm oil, coconut, peanut, which was basically originally Rudolph Diesel's preference, is peanut oil. So basically, and vegetable oil, it can run on vegetable oil. So to me, it makes sense to design the Mighty engine around diesel, but not only that. Originally, I designed the first 14-inch prototype for the truckers, because basically at the time that I was working on it, I had heard some news that they were suffering miserably because of the prices, and that they were living on their trucks for some reason. I saw a show in 2020 at one time, and that kind of like got me, and I said, okay, I'm going to redesign the engine to be 14 inches to replace the 3,000-pound engine that they have. So, but originally, the Mighty engine was based on a racing engine, an Indy 500 racing engine, 2.65 liters. So basically, that's the reason why I designed it for the truckers. And but like I said, it can run on gasoline. We can design gasoline engines. However, like I said, if you're after efficiency and torque, nothing beats the compression ignition engine, which is diesel-based engine. And like I said now, but it can run on hydrogen. It can run on natural gas. However, I'm looking at the distribution outlets as well too, which is I don't want to mess around with infrastructure. So with diesel, the infrastructure is already there. With the rest of them, you still have to come up with the infrastructure. So I want to make it as easy as possible to introduce into the market.
Right. Now, we haven't talked yet about what this engine looks like on the inside. And for those who maybe have just joined us, I want to mention, just by way of illustration, that an SUV-sized engine could be replaced using this technology with an engine that would be about the size of your alternator.